Good morning and
Blog
welcome to
Talk
the
Radio.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Life Empowering Words, Faith for the Week. We're so honored to be here again with you, to be back on the air with you. We have a wonderful, wonderful message today, and I'm just excited for what God is doing. I want to thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in, for your questions, for your prayer requests. And we are just honored again, I say, to be here. I want to quickly give the phone number for people that want to call in to the show to ask questions or to give their prayer request. That number is 602-753-1822. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for your love, Father. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word, Lord, your word that leads us, that guides us, your word that strengthens us and encourages us. Father, let your glory go forth today in everything that we say, in everything that we do. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Real quick, there's a little short song that just says, I love you, and I just want to hear that real quick. Amen. Sometimes you just have to tell the Lord that you love him. I am Foster Clark, and I am the host of Life Empowering Words, Faith for the Week. And I am so honored to be here today. We have a very important word today that we're going to share with you today called, God, you have God-given authority. Or in other words, as I like to say, God-given authority is yours. Now walk in it. As Christians, we have God-given authority through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to speak, pray, and proclaim God's Word in every situation. You were not created to simply lie down in defeat or to beg God, hoping he might be kind enough and answer your prayer, but you were created by God and given authority and power upon the earth. And God desires for you and for me to walk in faith and in the power of his might given to us. Through Christ our Lord, the victory is ours. It's time for us to walk in the authority of the Word of God given for us. That's one reason why we love to pray normally at the beginning of every show, and I know I changed it today. The opening song called Healed by the Power of His Word.
I'm healed by the power of His Word. I'm healed by the power of His Word. Over every situation, I'm healed by the power. I'm healed, yes I am. power. Speak to your situation. Speak to your circumstance and declare it. May the prophet then,
I'm healed
by the power. We speak to attitude shifts tonight. We heal. Hallelujah. Disenfranchised. Be healed. Now think about that loved one and you say to that situation, be healed by the power.
Amen. We are healed by the power of the Word of God. And it's that word, that power of that word that I want to talk to you about this morning for just a little bit. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 10. Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 1. We're going to look at a couple of things. Then we're going to go over to Genesis. But we got to start at Matthew 10, where the Lord our God blesses us with a very, very wonderful word. And in Matthew 10, verse 1, let's start it. We want to back up a little bit and start at chapter 9, verse 35. And in that it says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, I want everyone to catch this, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then in Matthew 10, verse 1, it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, watch this now, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Over in verse 7, it says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Oh my God, there's so much in that right there. Beloved, know that you are the laborers to be sent into the harvest. You are the laborers that Christ is talking about. And God is not sending you powerless, but he says, I give you power. Now, in that being sent, we are the laborers being sent. That means he is sending you not just out into the highways and the byways, not just out into the churches and the cities, but even in your own homes, even in your on your job, in your homes, with your children, with your spouse. He is saying, I've given you authority that which is not right, speak to that situation. Use my word in your situation. Use my word to go forth and be a blessing. How do I know? Because first up in verse 36, he says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. That's the first thing, is that we have to be people of compassion. People not only of compassion, but people that are passionate
about wanting to see God's best in every situation and in the lives of those around us, those that are closest to us and those that are our coworkers, our friends, and yes, our families. We have to have hearts of compassion and to be passionate about seeing God's best. Not only did Christ have a heart of compassion, but he was passionate about doing the Father's will. He was passionate about blessing others. He was passionate about wanting to see God's goodness and people walking in that goodness. And so he said he was filled with compassion. He was moved with compassion. That means he wanted to do something. My gosh, we're really going to deal with that later. He was moved with compassion. But before we really get into that, before we really get into the power that Christ has given us, we have to back up. We have to back up to the beginning. So if you can, let's go to Genesis right quick. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to take it all the way back to the beginning. Amen. And in Genesis chapter 1, starting at verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. All throughout Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, and God said. And every time God said, every time God spoke, creation took place. Every time God spoke, something happened. That's very key. We're going to see why in a minute. But then in verse 26, God is still creating. He's still speaking. And he says, then God said, let us make man in our image, my God, and according to our likeness. He goes on to say, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing. Real quick, I want you to know that we are overcomers because we were created in the likeness of God. We were created in Christ's image. Now, here's what I want you to understand about this power. Everything God did, everything he created was created by the spoken word. Then he comes to man and he says, we're going to create man, but we're going to create him in our image and our likeness. It's that word likeness that I want you to understand right now. Being created in God's likeness means that we are absolutely alike. We are similar to the creator. God created the animals and everything else, but he created man to be in his image and in his likeness. That means to operate as he operates, to walk with his characteristics. Likeness means a similarity. My God, I hope you're catching that. We have the very likeness and character of Christ. It is a condition of being alike. So the same way Christ operates is the same way I have to operate. The same way Christ created is the same way I have to create. The same way that Christ brought about change, I have to operate to bring about change in the situations of my life. But then he goes on in verse 27. So God created man. No, I'm still in verse 26. He said, not only do I want to create them in my likeness, but let them have dominion. You got to have dominion. He gave us dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every creeping thing. Now we have dominion. That means God says, I didn't create you to be defeated, but I created you to have authority over every living thing and everything that's going on around you, in in accordance with my word. So God created with the spoken word. We were created in his likeness to operate the same way. Now, this is very key because we are heirs of the kingdom of heaven. When we gave our lives to Christ, we became heirs of Christ, heirs of God. That means an heir has the rights of the person that he is co-heir with. That means that I have the rights given unto me by God through Christ in every situation. So I should never have a defeated attitude. I should never look at a situation as being helpless, because we are not helpless in any situation. We are the laborers in our neighborhood. We are the laborers in our cities. We are the laborers in our homes when Christ said, I give unto you power. Jesus in Mark 4 and 39, he and the disciples are out to sea and they're on this boat and a storm arises in Mark chapter 4. A storm arises. And he was asleep in the ship. And they went to him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Yes, he cared, but he was waiting on them to do something. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But then he said something. He said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now notice this. The Son of the Living God did two things. First, he spoke to the wind, which had been kicking up the waves, and said, Peace be still. Jesus was not operating as the Son of God at that time, but as the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit, the same anointing that we walk in, the same anointing that he has given unto us, because he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send you another meaning one just like me. For right now I'm with you, but soon he shall be in you. That means the power of the Holy Spirit is always within me. Everywhere I go, the power of the Holy Spirit is with me. So he says he's operating as the Son, not as the Son of God, but as the Son of Man, anointed by the Holy Spirit. That was the first thing he did. The second thing he did was he spoke to the men in the boat and said, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? In other words, why didn't you do something? Too many times we're praying and we're waiting on God to do something, and God is saying, No, you do something. I've given you dominion. I've given you authority. You speak to the situation. You do something. You act in faith. Do you understand, beloved? God does a miracle where a miracle is needed. Most times, God gives us his word and expects us to act upon that word. The problem is, too many of us don't know what the word says about our situation. So we're sitting around waiting on the pastor to preach about it. We're waiting on the pastor to preach about our situation. We're waiting on the pastor or somebody to tell us about our issue, to tell us what the word says. No, if you got a situation that is not a good situation, a situation that can be made better, get into the word and find out what the word says your situation ought to be. Then begin to pray and proclaim that word over your situation. And when you proclaim that word, God will honor his word. But too many times we don't know what the word says about our situation. So he says to the men, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? He will say, How is it that you don't have faith and that you don't understand who you are and who I am? See, the problem is when we get in situations that are hard, that are rough, and I'm not minimizing anybody's situations, please hear that. But we get in these situations, and because the situation is so long, it's so hard, we tend to forget who we are in Christ. And we begin to act on emotion and move on emotion instead of acting on the word and moving in faith and putting action with our faith and with our prayer. And we're going to deal with this prayer thing. Prayer is absolutely necessary. However, prayer is not a crutch where you just pray and then you sit and wait on God to do something. God does a miracle where a miracle is needed. The other times, God is waiting on you to see what the word says and then act on that word in faith, even if your heart ain't fully in it right now. But you got to act on it because you're believing that that word will bring forth life. See, Jesus expected somebody in that boat to get up and do what he had taught them. He expected somebody in that boat to get up and speak to the wind. He expected Peter at least to stand up in the bow of that boat and proclaim, the Son of the living God has told us we are going to the other side. See, that's the key. He said, let us get in the boat and go to the other side. He told them where they were going. So even when the storm arose, somebody should have known, but it's not going to have a negative effect upon us because he said we're going to the other side. So somebody needed to stand up and make that declaration and that statement of faith. What's going on in your life that you have not made a declaration and a statement of faith about? What's happening on your job, in your home, in your life that you have not gotten into the word to find out what the word says about your situation and started declaring that word and acting on that word? This is the power that Christ has given us that we have to begin to walk in. Find out what the word says about your situation and then take action on that word. How bad do you want your situation changed? How much are you willing to fight for it? To fight to see something different come about? And then begin to speak that word. Oh my God. There is a song that's ringing in my heart before we go on, because I just have a little bit more. But I want you to know that you're an overcomer. You're an overcomer because of the word of God and the power of the Spirit of God in us. But in order to be that overcomer, you have to speak the word.
I need somebody to put their hands together tonight. How many of you know in the kingdom nothing happens until something is spoken? So we declare.
Amen. It's the spoken word. It's the spoken word that changes situations. It's the spoken word by faith that causes a difference to take place. But understand that this isn't something that you can do once or twice. You have to stay engaged in it. You have to stay working with it. You have to stand on that word and speak that word until change starts taking place in the atmosphere. If the word, if your situation lines up with the word, speak the word. Because this is what we were created to do and the authority that was given to us. My God, Moses is standing. I love this story. Moses is God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. And I'm going to go to Exodus real quick, people. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. They out there in the desert. They get to the Red Sea. Pharaoh running them down. And everybody's afraid. Everybody's scared. As Pharaoh approached, it says in Exodus 14, verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. Now watch, this is Moses. Then Moses said, was it because there were no graves? Then they said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? Now God had brought them out, done all this stuff, and they already see death coming. What have you done to us by bringing us out to Egypt, out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians? See, they would rather be slaves to the enemy they knew than possibly deal with the enemy they weren't sure of. See, we get comfortable in situations. We ain't even really happy in a situation. But we get comfortable with it, so we simply begin to accept it. God never called us to accept a situation that does not line up with his word. That's in your home, your job, your marriage, wherever. If you're not happy in a situation, and I'm not saying every day is going to be gold, but if you know God's word says something about your situation and your situation isn't lined up with it, he didn't tell you to accept that. He calls you to do something about it. So they get here, and Moses in verse 13, I love this, he answered the people and he said, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord, for the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. Now, Moses is talking to them, but he's also praying to God. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now, here's where a lot of Christians miss it. Christians love to say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm just standing on the Lord. But that don't mean you don't have a part to play in your situation changing. Moses says the Lord will fight for you. You need to only be still. But then in verse 15, the Lord says to Moses, he says, why are you crying out to me? The first time I read that, my mouth hit the floor. Here Moses is praying and telling the people God going to fight for them, and you won't see this enemy no more. And the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you just praying and praying and praying and doing nothing? See, way back in the beginning, Exodus, God gave Moses this staff. And Moses, and God said, I will be with you, and I will speak out of your mouth. And God empowered Moses. So Moses had everything he needed to change that situation. A lot of us, we have everything we need to see certain situations change. We just have gotten comfortable in the situation and we're not acting on it. So God says this to Moses. Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. That means quit standing there. Move on. Do something. Quit accepting the status quo, business as usual. This is how it is. It's the way it's always been. If God don't do it, ain't nothing going to happen. No, there are some things that is true. If God don't do it, it won't change, because there's some situations that are above you. But a lot of things, no, you need to start making changes according to the word. Walking in a different way, doing a different thing, speaking a different word, speaking the word of God. So he says, so then God tells Moses, raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide it so the Israelites can go through.
Notice he tells Moses to do it. He said, Moses, you raise your staff. You stretch out your hand over the sea. He gave Moses the authority and the power to do what needed to be done. We have that authority. We have that power. Ezekiel said, can these dry bones live? Whatever is dead in your life, whatever is dead in your home, whatever is dead in your job, start speaking life to it. Start speaking life to it according to the word. And then the things that you know you can change and do, do. And this is how change starts taking place. Because we have been given the authority from God. See, in the military, I was military. In the military, you train. You learn weaponry. You learn strategy. Then you go into battle to win the war. Everyone loves freedom, but not everyone is willing to fight for freedom. You have to be willing to fight for your change. You have to be willing to get into the word, to find out what the word says about, first off, about you yourself. In most situations, the change starts in you. Then it moves forward. A lot of folk, a lot of Christians are sitting around waiting on God to do a miracle. When God is saying the miracle really isn't needed here. What is needed here is you to begin to use the authority given to you in the word over yourself and over your situation. Don't you know that you can speak the word over yourself? I have to speak the word to my own heart in a lot of areas that I can become not only the man of God that God wants me to be, but I can become the husband the word says I have to be, the father that I ought to be. I got to speak the word to myself, over myself. And sometimes it's going to look like I'm losing because nothing's changing from somebody else's end. But that doesn't stop me from doing what God says I'm to be doing. How I'm to change, how I'm to grow, how I'm to operate in His word. We have been given authority from God. We've been given dominion to walk in God's word and to operate in that. I love Isaiah 55 and verse 10. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, my God, they come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout. When the snow and the rain comes, it hits the grass, it hits the plants, it hits the flowers, and that water causes something to grow, causes something to sprout, to bear fruit. Remember, over in Genesis, it said God gave us the command to have dominion, but then He gave us the man to to be fruitful and multiply. He ain't just talking about kids. That's something different. When He said be first He said be fruitful and multiply, then He said fill the earth and subdue it. But be fruitful and multiply means to be fruitful in every endeavor and to continuously multiply in our love, our kindness, our characteristics that He walks in, that He is. We have to be fruitful, and we ought to desire to be fruitful in everything we do. Everything. I ought to desire to be fruitful in ministry. I ought to desire to be fruitful in how I treat my neighbor. I ought to desire to be fruitful in how I love my wife. Emotionally, spiritually, and physically. That's right, I said it physically. We need to quit being so holy and act like this stuff don't count. In every area and everything that God says marriage is, I ought to desire to be fruitful in it. In everything that God has called me to in ministry, I ought to desire to be fruitful in it. I ought to desire to be fruitful in how I play and just enjoy life. So in all of these things, God said, be fruitful. Well, His word says, for as the rain and the snow come down from the earth and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower, my God, seed to the sower, that means you got to sow into something. If you want love, sow love. If you want kindness, sow kindness.
If you want grace, sow grace. If you want mercy, sow mercy. That's a whole other message. We ain't going there. But in verse 11, it says, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty. God's word will not return empty. As long as you are praying it with a right heart and a loving heart and in right standing with the situation, God's word will not return void. It will not return empty, but it will accomplish the desired result of what the word says it will do. It will not return without succeeding in the matter for which it was sent. This is our call. This is what Christ is saying to us today. Walk in the authority that you have been given. Quit giving in to the enemy. Quit seeing, oh, woe is me. And it's just honest. I got to be honest. I've been there before. Get frustrated, get ticked off, get mad. Next thing you're not, no, you're just kind of going with the flow. But then God always sends somebody along to shake me and say, man, quit going with the flow. Get back in the fight. Rise back up. I got good people around me. I got a friend around the corner that kind of jumps on me every now and then. Kind of shakes me. I see what he's doing. Kind of shakes me to get back in gear. This is who we are. And we got to line it up in the word. My God. God has given us the authority. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to walk in it? Are you going to make changes that will cause change to come forth in your life? Today, make up your mind. I'm not going to settle for the status quo. If I've gotten comfortable, if you've gotten comfortable in a situation, repent. Lord, I've gotten comfortable in this. I've gotten comfortable just accepting this. Understand, and this, Lord, help me say this. We are to be thankful for everything. But that doesn't mean that we get so thankful that we accept less than what God says that we should have. If God says that a situation ought to be a certain way, it may not be there yet, but I've learned to simply get comfortable with it. I'm in the wrong. Because, and it is sin because I'm choosing to accept less than what God has for me. In Genesis 1, everything God did, he said, and God blessed them. He blessed the animals and said, be fruitful. He blessed man and said, be fruitful. So when we are choosing to be less than fruitful in the areas of our lives that God's word says we can be fruitful in, we're wrong. And we need to repent for that. I've had to repent for that. I've had to say, Lord, I've gotten comfortable. Forgive me. Lord, I've had an attitude of, oh, well, I guess this is as good as it gets. Forgive me. Lord, I'm just going to deal with this situation and make the best of it. Forgive me. Doesn't say that. The word does say to be content. I've learned to be content in all situations. It didn't say satisfied. That means I'm not going to complain and whine and moan and groan forever. I say forever because sometimes you do. We're not supposed to, but we do. Let's be honest. I thank God and hope I'm complaining less now than I used to. But see, I've learned to be content. But that don't mean satisfied. That means, God, I'm going to keep looking to you and give you praise regardless. I'm going to keep looking to you because you are my hope. And I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep standing. And I'm going to keep putting action with my prayer. Action with my faith. My God, faith without works is dead. Quit praying and doing nothing, people. This is who we are. This is who God created us to be. Whatever your situations are today, realize that you have authority in that situation to speak God's word. But you got to get in the word and find out. A while ago, just to tell y'all the truth, a while ago, I was unhappy in my marriage tremendously. And I began to pray and pray about it, but
one day it hit my heart, but what is marriage really supposed to be like as a Christian? I'm not going to lie to y'all. I got tired of Christian marriage because you just go to church. You go to church, you come home. Go out to eat on Sunday. Maybe go to a movie. Okay, I'm not wired that way. I love life. I love it fast. I love it excited. I get bored quickly. I'm restless. I just got frustrated. So one day God hit my heart, but what does the word say? So I began to look into the word about what the word says about marriage. And my God, marriage according to God's word, it's a full life. It's up, it's down, it's crazy, it's fun, it's loving, it's passionate. Okay, well, I wasn't seeing all that stuff in my marriage. So I began to get in the word and start praying about it. First about myself. Lord, show me where I need to change. So many things I need to do different. Then I begin to get in the word and pray the word for the marriage as a whole. And about ministry. Yes, a preacher frustrated with ministry. So I got in the word. Started looking at what ministry is supposed to be. And I started praying about that. And a whole new fire came to me. But you got to be willing to get in it. You can't wait on somebody to preach it to you, give it to you, or tell it to you. And then we got to be consistent in our praying. Consistent in our faith and consistent in our actions. We have to get up and do something. We got about 15 minutes, but real quick, because I'm telling you that you got to take an action. I'm telling you you got to get up and do something. So, of course, y'all know by now, y'all to be on the radio with me, I got a song for that. So the song that we're going to hear is called Arise. Arise and get up.
The church, meaning that when God looks at the earth, when he looks at a city, he does not see a city with a church in it. He sees a church with the city around it. The church is the vehicle by which Jesus speaks, acts, and moves. Everything God wants to do in the earth, he wants to do for his church. Now that you hear him calling and awakening, what will be your response? Will you sit back? Or will you arise? Will you stay asleep? Or will you take a stand? I believe that when the Lord speaks, he went towards people to release a sound and respond. This is our response. Somebody declare it. rising up in the hearts of God's people, crying out for a move of God. Are you hungry tonight?
Amen. 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 It's time to arise in the Word. To arise and take our rightful place in the Word. To arise and know and understand who we are in God and who God is in us. It's time to arise. It's time to arise, even as Christ said back over in Mark, as we looked at earlier. He said, how is it that you don't have faith, that you don't understand who you are or who I am? How is it that nobody is standing up and speaking the word? Today, beloved, as we get ready to close, realize today that God has given you and me dominion over every situation. The word of God says that we are the head and not the tail. We are the lenders and not the borrowers. We are above every situation and not beneath it. We are blessed going in and we're blessed coming out. We're blessed in the city and we're blessed in the country. But oh my God, we have to act on the word. Get in the word today in your situation. Whatever situation you have that is not walking in the fullness of what Christ says it should be, of what the word of God declares and shows, get into the word and begin to speak the word. Begin to proclaim the word. If you've been living below God's standard, say, Lord, forgive me for living below your standard. Lord, forgive me for accepting less than what you have intended. Lord, forgive me for getting complacent. Lord, forgive me that even in my thankfulness to you, I've simply begun to settle. Lord, forgive me for not pursuing your word in my every situation. And oh my God, beloved, then be consistent. Be consistent. Because we win. We win in every situation. We win when we line up with the word. We win when we proclaim the word. We win when we allow the word to examine our own heart. We win. Know today that you have God-given authority. I want to pray with you real quick, just to pray with you and pray that God's word would fill our hearts, that we would be filled with compassion, that we would be passionate people, passionate about the word, passionate about God, passionate in our relationships, passionate in business, passionate on our jobs. That we would speak God's word, that God would get glory out of our every situation, having been lined up with him. We were not created to be defeated. We were not created to live defeated lives. We were not created to live complacent lives. We were not created to walk in this way. My God, but we were created to stand on the word. We were created to have dominion. Real quick, 2 Corinthians 4, verse starting at verse 7 says this, and I want to read this to you real quick, and may it bless you as we get ready to close. Before I pray, I want to read this to you real quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, my God. Starting at verse 6, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But then going on into verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed,
we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in us. My God, my God, we thank you, Lord, for we who are alive are always being given over to the death of Jesus' sake so that his life may also be revealed. It's the life of Christ being revealed in you. Christ gave us victory through his death and his resurrection. God gave us victory in creating us in his likeness. Let us walk in that authority. You are not defeated. You are not in despair. In the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, for reminding us that we are more than conquerors through your word and through the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that your word is the answer to every situation that we have. I thank you, Father. Help us, Lord, to get into that word and to see what your word says about our situations, to see what your word says about our own selves in the situation. Holy Spirit, lead us and guide us. Teach us, for your word says that you will teach us all things. Teach us in every situation. And then, Lord, I pray that you would put within us a fighter's mentality to stand on that word, to proclaim that word, to speak that word with absolute expectation of it accomplishing its purpose and not returning void. I give you glory, Father, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your strength. I bless your name, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, may we go forth in that word. May we go forth in your authority and stop living below your standard. I thank you, Lord, that we win. That we win. Beloved, we're going to hear this last song, and after this song, we're going to be done for the day, and I'm excited for what is going to take place next week. So be encouraged for this week. Be encouraged to know that you have God-given authority and walk in that authority. Be encouraged to know that whatever the situation, God has created you and enabled you to win in that situation, but you have a role and a part to play. Notice that we win. God bless you. I love you. Amen.
wildly. I don't know what is. If you flip all the way to the back of the book, we win.
Amen, amen. We win. We win, we win. In every situation, we win. In every area, we win. Sometimes it may be a hard-fought battle. Sometimes it may not be an overnight thing, but we win. The whole thing is that we have to be in the fight. We have to be willing to be in the fight. We got to get in the fight. We have to find out what the word is. We have to find out what our strategy is. And then we have to get in the fight. My God, get in the word. Find out what your strategy is. Find out what the word says and begin to fight with the word. Begin to proclaim and speak and declare. And then, oh my God, here it comes. Begin to act on that thing. Step out in faith. Do something new. Do something different. My God, we win. God bless you. I love you. I'm excited for you. I'm excited for what the word of God says and will do in our lives. Be blessed throughout this week. Be blessed this day. Bless somebody today. Do something kind for somebody. Speak a word. Buy lunch. Do something for somebody today. Even those that are closest to you. Bless somebody. God bless you. I love you. I will see you next Wednesday, God willing, with a fresh word in Jesus.